Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Man, I am excited to be here this morning. I am coming off of a weekend retreat, which is fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, not a weekend retreat. That would be today. Coming off of a week retreat, a couple days, 4 days. It was awesome. Man, God really challenged me and shaped me and challenged me some more and some more. You ever just been in that season where God is, God leans in and causes you and calls you to examine and to reflect and to pivot? Man, life is about the pivot. It's about moving. It's about adjusting. It's about I was in a leaders meeting, and one of our leaders looked at me, and I was changing something else, and they looked at me and said, "Well, you know what? Here's the constant: change. If you want to become bitter, stay where you're at. Do what you've always done. Live the way you've always lived." I shared this in our leaders meeting, that following Jesus is about walking when Jesus walks and stopping when Jesus stops. Stand up when Jesus stands up and sit down when Jesus sits down. I think sometimes we make the faith much, 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 much harder than it really is. Because what we do is this, I'm very type A. I'm not even going to make this a we statement. I'm going to make this a me statement. Because I think God always starts with me before He starts with we. Is that fair? I'm type A, which means I like to get things done and make it happen. The problem is when I try to make it happen, I negate God's ability to make it happen. I work hard. I just don't accomplish anything. One of the things that I hate in the gym the most, like there are two pieces of equipment that make me mad. First of all is the elliptical. That should never exist. It's like jump skiing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, it's a great workout. Don't get me wrong. If you do it, praise God. Glad you do. But I tried it with my wife one time, and she goes, "You're going backwards." And for whatever reason, it worked better for me backwards. I'm like, "Can I just say I hate this piece of equipment?" And she's like, "Well, it's such a good workout." I'm like, "No." So the other piece of equipment in the gym that I hate is the treadmill. My wife just said it sounds bad, the treadmill. That sounds like a biblical piece of equipment, right? And as the ox was yoked to the treadmill. And I'm like, that's not in and of itself an untrue statement for me. But you can just, I'll give you a time to process on that. At least I didn't say donkey, because that at times is true too. But anyway, the thing I hate about both of these is I put a lot of energy in, but I get off at the same place that I got onto them at. And that, to me, is just super frustrating. I don't mind. So we have bikes, and we get bike riding some. And that doesn't bother me, even though I circle back a lot of times to the same place I started. It doesn't bother me because I've moved. I've moved the needle forward, and that doesn't bother me as bad. But what I found is this, is that sometimes we're so busy trying to move the needle that we forget to rest. I'm so busy trying to make it happen. I've made this statement so many times. I don't have time to take a Sabbath because I'm so busy. And if I don't hurry up and get this done, it's not going to get done. So what I found in my life, this is probably not even a message for you. Can I be truthful? This is probably just a message about me. And if you happen to go along, praise God. But this is going to be pretty much group therapy for me. Man, I have been so busy moving a church forward. I've been so busy pioneering and growing and developing and getting vision and seeing what God can do. God has done tremendously. I mean, some of you guys are literally walking testimonies to dry bones. I've seen some of you people come in and your marriage has been broken. And you were on a collision course with divorce, but now you're in a happy and thriving marriage. I've seen people come in and their hearts were broken and God mended those back together. The rhythm of that looks so different for every person, but over and over. So what happens is it's real easy to begin to think that if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. There's not a mom in here that cannot identify with the statement I'm making. How many moms have ever said, I know I need to rest. But if I don't do this load of laundry, my Lord. Can I just be honest with you? I looked at my wife the other day and I said, here's my goal, that when Jesus comes back, there's laundry left for somebody. I just feel like that's a personal goal of mine, that somebody's going to come into my house and be like, what was this cat doing? Not the laundry. That's what I was doing. But so what happens is it's easy for me, and maybe for you, to get in a place where from the soul out, I'm not in a good place. Like just from this, like I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not sinning. I know I'm just not whole. I just feel like I have so much on me. I feel like there's so much weight to bear. I just struggle. And I struggle through life, and I struggle with my spouse, and I struggle with my kids, and I struggle with my finances, and life is a struggle. But Jesus makes this statement. If you got your Bible, go to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The first time I read this is going to be from the English Standard Version, probably one of the best literal interpretations of the Word of God that there is on the planet. But Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it's going to read this way. Come to me, all who labor. Well, I love this. First of all, it says, come to me, comma. Whatever you're looking for, it's found in me. That's a bold statement for Jesus to make. Because a comma indicates a pause. Jesus is talking to a group of people and he said, come to me. Well, in the Jewish culture, they were used to going through somebody else. Jesus said, but if you'll come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. 29 says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Jesus said this. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to yoke with me. And I've got a series coming up talking about what you yoke with. But here's the concept. Is that a yoke in the Old Testament was when they took multiple animals and they took a bar and they lashed their necks together. Now here's the great thing about a yoke. If every animal is pulling the same intensity, you can move mountains with a team of oxen or a team of horses or a team of even donkeys. But if one pulls harder than the other, all they'll spend their time doing is walking in circles. Because one size pulls harder than the other. He said, take my yoke upon you. And what Jesus is saying is, the thing I'm about to yoke you to is going to be the way I define it. The thing I'm going to ask you to saddle up and ride with is going to be the way that I define it. And here's the way God defines his yoke. He said, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As I read this weekend, sitting on a porch at a conference, I went, wow, sometimes my soul just needs rest. Sometimes I just need to remember that God said this, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matter of fact, verse 30 reads this way. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ever just made this statement? There's no way I can get it all done. You're right. Because if you're trying to pull something that's too big for you, it was not yours to pull. You ever seen a Prius like hooked to a trailer? No, because it was never made to pull it. Man, a Prius is basically a roller skate with a motor that will get you from here to there on the least amount of consumable energy possible. I'm not picking on it. If you got a Prius, great. Praise God for it. But here's the thing. Don't go get a gooseneck and put it on top. Because it was never designed for that. And here's the thing. I would challenge you to say that if we hooked a big trailer up to a Prius, what we would do is in no time we would break the Prius. And we'd break the trailer. Some of us are walking around with broken lives because what we're doing is we're yoking so much to our life and pulling so much that we were never meant to pull. God said this. He said, if you really want to know how to follow me, he said, what I'm going to tell you to do is I'm going to tell you to yoke with me. I need you to get literally in step with me. JC, come here for just a second. We're going to do this. I know I did this in the leaders' meeting, so if you're here, you're just going to see it twice. But here's the concept. Can I teach you just about everything you need to know about Christianity in one quick minute? So we're going to pretend for a minute, and this is not true, but I am Jesus. This is anybody else who wants to follow Jesus. The whole concept is this, is that when Jesus moves, you move. And how Jesus moves, you move. And when Jesus stops, stop. You can't pull Jesus. You can't push Jesus. You can't do something different than Jesus. Anybody ever try to pull Jesus? Come on, God. Well, look, God will come on when God is good and ready to come on. Anybody ever heard that? Or, you know what? I'm just leaning into Jesus. I'm just leaning into him. No, you're just getting on his nerves is all you're doing. What he wants you to do is just come take a walk. Stay in step. Thank you, brother. In the Garden of Eden in Genesis, it said, in the cool of the day, God walked with Adam and Eve. I can just see, man, this is so beautiful. Can you just see Adam and Eve strolling through the garden, man? I've been to the Bahamas a couple of times, and to me, that's Eden, right? I'm like, minus the drink shacks. But anyway, maybe, I don't know, I wasn't there, but it's free. So anyway, can you just see God and Adam just walking? They're just... And I can just see God coming to a waterfall or coming to a ravine even, and he stops. You know what Adam does? What are we looking at? Because if you really want to understand the yoke of God, sometimes you have to stop and ask God what he sees. Because otherwise you'll yoke up to a burden that was never your burden to carry. I love the way the message reads the same text. Again, I'm going to come out of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and it's going to read this way. I'm going to read it a little faster. Are you tired and worn out and burnt out on religion? Yep. You ever been there? And I'm just tired and worn out, and I'm not trying to follow a system of do's and don'ts. I just want to take a walk with Jesus. I just need to go somewhere with Jesus where my soul feels better for a change. Because let's be honest, we have come through a pandemic. We've come through a political season. We've come through racial tensions. We've come through whatever the next thing is. Now we're in a war and everybody's talking about World War III. Well, can I just be honest with you? I just need to find a light yoke. Because if I yoke to all that stuff, I'm going to break. Can I be honest with you? Am I tired? Yes, Jesus, I am tired. That's not even like, you don't have to have a gift of prophecy to understand or discernment. I'm tired. Are you worn out? Between crying and laughing, God, all the time. You burned out on religion? Yeah, because it doesn't seem to be working. Jesus said, then come to me. I love this next line. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. 29. Walk with me and work with me. Two different statements. Walk with me, but then learn how to work with me. Work with me also implies that you're going to learn how to rest with me. He said, learn unforced rhythms of grace. I could just stop. I'm just for me. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You know, a lot of times we get tired because we're trying to do something that God's not. Or we try to do it in a season where God's telling us to rest. Here's the thing. Every 6 days, there's what? Somebody said a seventh. North Carolina education is paying off. What comes after six? Half the room wasn't even going to answer. They're just like, I'm saying, Jack, I've been to this church long enough. This is a setup. This is a trap. Somebody had the audacity to yell, well, whisper, the seven. Seven comes after six. I'm pretty confident. And here's the reality. God created man on the sixth day. God said, on the sixth day I created man. First thing I told man to do was sit down and rest. Why? He wasn't resting from something. He was resting to something. Man, you can't get a vision from God if you're not whole. So once a week, whether it's the beginning or the end of the week, because I think that sometimes we rest from things, but understand that rest and escape are not the same thing. I go on vacation to escape. I watch TV to escape. I get on my phone and play Uno to escape. I mean, you can fill in your game. I mean, I don't care. I go to Facebook to escape. But the problem is every time I escape, I don't escape from. I actually escape to more burdens. Because then I wake up and I figure out I've still got to. And if I go to social media, I figured out I didn't. Well, they were, but I wasn't. Why can't we have nice things like that? Because maybe you're not in debt up to your eyeball. I don't know. God said this. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. God said this, he said, I want your life to fit in perfect rhythm to what I'm calling you to. Now, does that mean that you never have busy seasons? No, man, that's not what we're talking about. But here's the thing, I can run a season of busy. I can run 6 days all out. If I know seven, I ain't doing jack. That doesn't do my soul better. Do you know that the difference between a Sabbath and an escape? I learned this week, actually. I spent some time with just a great brother, just a phenomenal pastor and friend. And we were talking, and he said, man, on your Sabbath, you need to do what does your soul good. That's why God intended the Sabbath to be a day that went to church. Because, man, hopefully when you leave here, you're challenged, but your soul feels better. I look at church like a shower, man. I mean, I get 6 days of grimy, and then I'm like, you ever skipped a day of showering? Or maybe you had a surgery or something. And you like pregnant women are the greatest, especially like if you had a C-section or something like that. And you go. And I never will forget. I helped my wife go in the shower for the first time, and she's like, oh, "Come back in 3 days," you know. Just wait. It's a pregnant woman, or a post-pregnant woman. It's the movements are smaller. You know why? Because, yeah, somebody just said for real. That's a true story, isn't it? So, but here's the reality is you sit there and you're like, man, God said, I want you to come to me and I just want you to rest. I want you to take a day and I want you to do what does your soul good. It does my soul good to be with my family. It does my soul good. It does my soul good to have the TV off. It does my soul good just to tell this where to go. Oh, no, you can interpret that however you want to. Because sometimes the most biblical thing you can do is tell things to go back to hell where they came from. You ever had a thought? Where did the thought come from? Was it from God or from the devil? Well, if it came from God, I want to entertain it. But if it came from the devil, it can go back to where it came from. And that's a bold statement. Yeah, Jesus is full of bold statements. He's full of bold statements like this. Work hard as you can for 6 days. But on the seventh, stop. Give it a rest. You ever looked at your kids and they're going and going and going and going at each other and you're in the car and you're between choking them and throwing them out. And then finally you look at them and go, all right, everybody, give it a rest. Stop and just, here's what I feel like. I feel like we're so worn out because we never give it us a rest. I love verse 30 here as well in the message. It reads this way. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Scripture said this, learn to live with me. Learn my rhythms. Learn my yoke. Learn my burden. Learn life my way. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus' way is not what you're looking at. Not around you. If you watch the miracles and the things that Jesus does, man, he did not do anything the way everybody else was doing. Everybody else said, wash your hands. Jesus said, hey, you ain't got to wash your hands. He said, hey, you know, take a Sabbath off. And he's like, you know, we'll go pull somebody's ox out of a ditch on a Sabbath. Like, somebody needs to get healed on a Sabbath. I'm not going to walk by him and be like, it's the wrong day. But at the same time, Jesus had a whole crowd, which is all the Pharisees wanted. And Jesus would be like, yeah, all right, y'all can go away now. I'm going to go pray. Why? Because he said this. He said, I need you to learn how to stay in my rhythm. I need you to learn how to be near me. I need you to learn how to keep company with me, because I'm going to ask you to do things that nobody else around you is going to understand. Man, it must be nice to take a day off. No, I just choose not to sin, and I want to walk with Jesus, so I'm taking a day off. And if you don't like the laundry in the house, the dishwasher is in there, the washing machine is there, the dryer's there, the clothes basket's in there. Man, knock yourself out. If you're going to sin, at least accomplish something for me. But as for me, I figured this out. Because here's the problem. Do you know why we don't? I'm going to take you to my main scripture text. That was actually just the setup. And I'm going to have to preach quick because I got 14 minutes. We're probably not going to make it. I'm just going to let you know. You're probably going to be here a little longer than normal. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Again, I'm reading from the Message just because I like it. It's not particularly a great interpretation. I just like it. Fair enough. Here we go. Once when he was standing on the shore of the lake, I can just see Jesus standing on the shore of the lake teaching. So the crowd was pushing in on him to hear the word of God better. Jesus noticed two boats tied up and the fishermen had just left them and they were scrubbing out their nets. And he climbed into the boat that was Simon's, later called Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for the pulpit, he taught the crowd. When people decide that they're going to hear the word of God better, things always change. When you decide that you're going to hear the word of God better, your life is going to change. And here's what happened. These people were so anxious to hear the word of God that they were pushing up on Jesus. Pushing up on him. I love it. My mental image, I can see that if I was there, I would have been one pushing up on Jesus. You're like, I got questions. You just teach, I'll listen. When you're done, I go, I'm gonna raise my hand. And I'd be trying to get closer and closer to Jesus. In about 30 seconds, you're gonna have an epiphany, I promise. We'll push into Jesus in the flesh, but we won't push into Jesus in his word. We'll push into the Jesus of the Bible, but we won't push into the Jesus of this life. What Jesus is saying is, he said, I want you to push into me. I want you to get so interested in hearing what I have to say that I begin to use things that you don't think I can use. Because I can promise, when Simon Peter bought his boat, he never intended on it to be a pulpit. What God will do is he'll take your everyday, ordinary stuff. When you learn to rest and find your rhythm in God, what he'll do is he'll take your ordinary stuff. He'll take you stuck in Food Lion checkout line. And somebody will drop something. You'll pick it up and they'll be, oh, that was so kind of you. I'm just having a bad day. And the next thing you know, your everyday ordinary grocery trip is now being used by God. Your everyday ordinary just... I never will forget my first cruise I ever went on. I looked at my family, got on the boat, cut my phone off because I'm not paying that bill. we were in the elevator, my son and I, and we met a guy whose wife forgot to turn off her phone. And we were 12 hours into the trip, and she had a $499 bill because she was on Facebook. Oh, yeah, he was happy. He was pretty pleased. I looked at him and said, well, here's the thing. I'm not doing any ministry on this trip. This trip, I'm not doing jack. I'm eating Guy Fieri, is that his name? Guy Fieri burgers. And I'm just telling you, I'm not doing jack. I'm not doing jack. I'm not teaching anybody anything. I'm gonna do Jesus. I'm gonna love y'all, but I'm not teaching anybody. I'm not counseling anybody. I'm going on vacation. I'm vacaying. Now, judge me how you want to, but a lot of times, depending on who I'm around, like, I won't even take my shirt off. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, I'm a pastor. With my look, I'll be like walking around without a shirt on. I'll see somebody, and then I'll feel like weird, like I'm not Jesus-like or whatever. But I'm like roll my shirt up under my head, and I'm laid out. And I'm smothered in the suntan lotion, and I'm like, They got 80s music playing. I'm pretty much in heaven. I'm just letting y'all know right now. I'm like, you can feel a little movement on the boat. And I'm like, oh, God is good to me. And so I'm sitting there, and this lady and her husband, whatever, was sitting beside us. And she said something, and they started getting in an argument. And she got up and was mad, and he looked at me and said, well, women, what are you going to do? So I did what any man of God would do. Dude, I know you're right. He's like, man, it's just so frustrating. And in that moment, God brought up every shipwreck Paul had ever been on to my brain. And I'm like, man, I think I'm going to lean into this conversation for a second. And I'm like, brother, but here's the thing. Did you know that there's a better way? That God actually teaches us how to love our spouse. That God said this, that you're to sacrifice in love for your wife like God does the church. So you know what? If she wants to go to the art thing and you want to sit out here, why don't you just go to the art thing for a little while, dude? Suck it up. Be a man. Then come back out here and lay back out. Like, the sun ain't going away for like another 14 hours. I don't have a watch on, but I'm just guessing. You can probably be out here a minute. Why can't you do both? Why can't you sacrifice for her? Yeah, but she don't ever do anything for me. I said, yeah, what'd you do for God first? You can go now. And I never will forget, my son was beside me, and I looked over at him, and he goes, it never stops, does it? And I went, well, God uses what you don't expect. It's my everyday, ordinary vacation. But if God had to send me on a vacation to start him on a trajectory with his spouse, that's okay. You can use my boat. There's no problem with that. Man, if God's got to delay me at Food Lion so that I can talk to you before you kill your children, I'm good with it. It's okay. If God's got to put me in a bad place so that you can stand on my shoulder in that moment and crawl out, I'm okay with it. God, use me, because I understand that in my rhythm of life, I can be used, but then I'm ultimately going to find my rhythms of rest. Is this making any sense to anybody? Okay. So Jesus taught there, verse 4, he said, and when he finished teaching, he said, Simon, push out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon Peter said, Master, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught a minnow. Can I be honest with you? I do this to God all the time. God, I know you want me to take a day off, but Jesus, I've been fishing all night and I ain't caught anything, so if I quit working, then how am I going to catch anything? Like, if I stop, how do I get better? Like what you're telling me to do doesn't make any sense. Peter looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, look, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but the only time you can catch the fish we're fishing is at night, because we're in the Middle East. And it's hot. And this isn't when you catch fish. You know how I know that, Jesus? Because you're a rabbi, you're a teacher, and I'm a fisherman. Don't tell me how to do my job. Do you see what's going on? I got to make money or my family's going to starve, and you're telling me to take a day off. Really, the argument, wow. And the Lord said, I have no idea what I just did in my mind. No, yeah. So here's the thing. But the argument with us and God hasn't changed. God, it's the wrong day. God, I can't take a day off. There's laundry. God, I can't take a day off. I got to do the bills. God, I can't take a day off. The yard's not going to mow itself. God, I can't take a day off. God, the timing's wrong. Peter makes a statement at the end of this that changes everything. He said, but if you say so, you tell me to take a day off, I'll take a day off. Because you know what I figured out? You know why we don't listen to God sometimes, especially when it comes to the Sabbath? 9 commandments we'll listen to. The 10th one, boop, we ignore Jesus and act like God didn't say it. Even though it's echoed all through the New Testament, we act like taking a day off somehow is not offensive to God. Do you know why we don't take a day off? Because it's our way of saying we don't trust God. God, I can't take a day off because I don't trust you that if I do it your way, I can still get everything I've got to get done. And God said, well, who do you think gave you the babies? Who do you think gave you the house? Who do you think gave you the washing machine? Who do you think gave you the soap? Who do you think gave you the electricity to run it? Now you're telling me I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. When you're tired enough, you'll figure out that I'm right. Do you know why Simon Peter let his nets down? Just in case God happened to be right. Because his way was not working. He was fishless as a fisherman. You know what you call a fisherman who doesn't catch fish? Not a fisherman. That's just a boat owner. You're a boat owner with some nets. Anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? It's a spiritual show. You know what you call a deputy with a bullet in his pocket? Unarmed. Give me 1 second before you kill me. Let me get this bullet in and line it up and pull the hammer. God needs you to rest so that you can put the bullet in the gun. God needs you to rest so that you don't just look like somebody who walks with God and who fellowships and hears from God. He needs you to stop so that he can go, hey, son, daughter, sit down with me for a minute. See, we've lost the lost art of Sunday after church dinners at grandma's. Anybody ever go to one of these? And everybody sits around the thing. Now, my dad's a big sports guy. If you don't know, he's a huge sports fan. And my dad used to go over Granny's across from the fishing deal. Anyway, and the guys would go in there and they turn the TV on. They turn it on sports, right? And inevitably, I remember hearing this, cut off all that noise. That's grandma's way of going, hush. And you know what you did when grandma said that? You cut it off. Because grandma was a sweet little old lady, but she had a side. Do you know what the Sabbath is? It's God's way of going, hush and listen to me. Hush, everybody draw near. Sit down. All of you on the same day. I've got something to say to you. I need to speak into your soul. I need you just to tell the world for a day, shh. Simon Peter says this, but if you say so, I'll let out my nets. Verse 6 says this. It was no sooner said than done. The minute Simon Peter stepped into his obedience, he began to see the results. Can I be honest with you? So I spent 3 or 4 days this week just resting. I didn't do jack for the church. Except get healthy. Which is huge for the church. But I was so busy working that I was telling God, God, look at everything I'm doing for you, but I refuse to stop because if I stop, nothing's going to happen. And God finally looked at me this weekend and said, well, let me ask you a question there, Pastor Adam. Whose church is it? Is it my church or is it your church? I went, well, it's your church, of course. Then why are you running my church your way? And I went, well said. Literally, in my journal, I wrote, wow, God, I apologize for all the times I forgot to trust you because I thought my way was better than yours. That's humbling to say as a pastor. But I wonder how many people are here that go, man, maybe I've been trying to do the rhythm of my life without rest. God, I got to move. But God, we got our reasons, right? And God's just saying, look, cast your net this way. Cast the resource of your life this way. And if you do it, I'll let you find rest. It says this. It says, no sooner that he said than done than a haul of fish straining the net's capacity. Verse 7. They waved to their partners in the boat to come help them, and the boats were filled, nearly swamping with the catch. Because see, here's the thing. Anytime you catch it, you'll help other people catch it too. Once you catch the rhythm of rest, I mean, really, where you don't understand, where you look at having a Sabbath day, a rest in the Lord day, when you really see that as being a priority, it'll change your life, but it'll cause everybody else's life around you to change. Hey, on Sunday, dude, I can't do it on Sunday. Why, man, that's my Sabbath, it's the day I rest. Yeah, dude, it's one day. Yeah, but you don't know what's coming next week. Because I don't rest from, I rest too. I'm not escaping from, I'm looking towards. Man, in that Sabbath, I'm talking about the next week with my Father. And I'm not interrupting my Jesus time with whatever you've got going on. Does that mean we never do anything on the Sabbath? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what you do should be something that does your soul good, not something you dread and adds a yoke that you weren't equipped to take. I just wonder this morning, I've got a ton left to teach, but I'm not going to do it. I may split this between 2 weeks. Here's my question for you. Here's a real question. Real question. So what happens when you leave here? How do you rest? So my first day of rest was the most. Anybody been on a first date? Anybody remember first date? Some of us have been married long enough, we're vague with it, right? Oh, they're awkward. I went fly fishing this week. I'm not made to fly fish. I caught, this is no joke, I'll show a picture next week. I caught the biggest fish my guide had ever seen in the species that I caught. No joke. I did everything wrong. I couldn't cast right. When I reeled it in, I like reeled it, and they said, keep tension on the line. So I'm like, you can't really reel a fly reel well. So I just grabbed it and started walking up the bank. They were like, don't do that. And I'm like, will y'all make up your blessed mind on what I'm supposed to do? But here's the thing. So the first day of rest, I'm there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to rest. I'm going to make myself rest, which is totally not the concept of rest. And I'm like, I can't check my phone. I got a text. I got to set that down. Okay, so I get on my iPad. Wait a minute, my iPad's full of distractions too. And finally, I went and I picked up this thing that they call the Bible. It's got pages in it. Not the digital version, but like the old school, you know. And I got a pen and a note thing. And I sat down outside and I just stopped. And it was awkward for about a day and a half. And I stood in this river and the guy was retying my fishing line because I caught a tree. And it's okay. And I was standing there and I was just watching this clear water run down. And I was like, God, this water's not trying to move faster or slower. It's just going with the flow. And my fishing guy got ready to hand me the rod back. And I said, I fished for a little while. And he said, I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be guiding you. I'm like, well, I got other things to do. And he's like, what? And I said, rest right here. He said, oh, I got you. He's all about it. He's like, I'm fishing here, guy. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, and he walked back up to me and he goes, this is doing your soul good, isn't it? And I went, man, on a level you don't know. And I came back here and I'm just like, you know what, God? It's important for me just to find this rhythm in this moment. Again, I'm not talking. I'm still, at the end of the day, I'm type A, dude. Monday through Saturday, it's shifting gears. But then on the Sabbath, it's time to sit down. It's time to keep the TV off, maybe. Maybe movies do your soul good. Watch them. But here's what I found. I confess this, that I would come home stressed. Anybody do this? And I'd eat a little dinner and watch a little TV, then dive into my phone. Then before you know it, your spouse is saying goodnight, and you wonder where the night went. It's because you escaped and you didn't Sabbath. But if you just turn some stuff off and get quiet with the Lord, just for a minute, man. That's what Jesus said, man, will you just walk with me? You ever been walking with somebody and they finally look at you and go, we're going to have to sit down. My feet are killing me. I wore the wrong shoes. I didn't expect this kind of terrain. Or what? And you, I don't mind sitting down with you. But how come it is when God asks us to sit down, we tell God that we need to keep walking? This isn't put you in condemnation. Please understand that. It's not. But I want you to find the rhythm. I want you to find the stopping place where every week you Sabbath. You really rest with the Lord. And then you're going to have to teach your family how to do it. Because let me tell you something. It's the most awkward, unnatural thing you've done because our lifestyle has taught us not to Sabbath. But Scripture says, but remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember to keep it as a time when you and I are sitting down. Part of that rhythm, I think, is church. Because For an hour, you sit down quiet and you just listen to what God has to say into your life this week. Some of you guys that didn't attend online campus, some of you guys drove to church. You walked into your Sabbath and you started it and sat down. Now my challenge to you is to take the rest of your Sabbath today. Just reflect. Make things quiet down. Don't check Facebook. Don't check Instagram. Maybe don't turn on the TV. Maybe just spend some time with your kids. Do your soul some good. Spend some time with your spouse. Do your soul some good. If you need entertainment, I've got 66 books. Pick one of them and start reading a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? That's in the Bible if you don't know. Just, does that make sense? Let God take you on a journey. I'm going to warn you, it's going to be awkward at first. It's going to be super awkward at first. But if you'll learn to find your peace and grace in God, you'll learn to find a rhythm for your life that you didn't even know existed. You receive this today? Man, as we come to close, I just want to give you an opportunity. Today, if you're here and you go, you know what, Pastor? I've got to find the rhythm to life. And I know that Sabbath is part of that. I just want to pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, for every person that's here that, like me, just being honest, wrestles with not trying to work to show that we're your son or daughter, without trying to work to be more task-driven than we are Jesus-driven. Father, will you help us find peace and rest? God, you said that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. So, Father, today I'm going to choose to live my life in your rhythm and in your yoke rather than the one I put on myself. God, rather than the one I let other people put on me. God, today I choose to follow you and not try to lead you. God, will you give us the strength just to stop so that we can build the energy to go? Father, I'm going to thank you for what you do in and through us in all seasons of life. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head still down, every eye still closed, nobody looking around, if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to repent this morning. I need to turn away from the evil and move towards God. If that's you and you say, man, I need to make a confession this morning. I need to accept Christ as my own Lord and Savior. Will you just slip your hand up? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you down. I just want to pray with you. I'm going to assume everybody here is right with the Lord. Let's close. Father, we just thank you right now for an opportunity to come together, God, to be in this place. God, let your word sink deep in our heart, God, and let our hearts be full of joy as we go out into the world to pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.